Charge!
Hello everyone and welcome to the second episode of Epic Guides Podcast, coming to you from epicguides.net. I am your host, Joey, and I am excited about the second show. I'm glad that we've had some quite a few subscribers to the first show. It's doing a little better than I thought it would, to be honest with you. If you have a chance, stop by the forums at epicguides.net, let me know what you think. Or if you like the show, write a review on iTunes. I would love that. No reviews up there yet. We're going to start out with our featured segment, which is going to be on healers, as I promised in the last show. And I think that's going to go well. After that, we have the Real Life Thought of the Week, which I'm hoping is going to be more coherent than last week's Real Life Thought of the Week. And then after that, I'm going to have the Tip of the Cast, which is something I meant to do last week and I forgot, but that's going to be a continuing segment. It's just little tips that you can use from 1 to 60 most of the time, and they can help you on your full life in World of Warcraft while you're playing the game. Before I get started with all that, though, I just wanted to talk about something I heard recently this week, listening to another podcast that I love. I believe it was The Instance, which I asked everyone to check out last week. If you haven't, go ahead and do that. But they have read somewhere, I guess on the official World of Warcraft forums from Blizzard, that Blizzard is working on a looking for group UI, I guess. Some kind of better system than they called them waiting stones. And I have been asking for that anytime I'm in any forums that I'm ever active in, and they say there's a post that comes up, a thread that comes up on what would you like to see in World of Warcraft. My number one thing I would always love to see in World of Warcraft is a good grouping system. Because World of Warcraft doesn't have it. The slash four, looking for group channels, the meeting stones, they're all pretty craptacular. The slash who, and then looking for classes and asking people randomly. I just don't feel good doing it. It's the best way to do it, I think, but sometimes people get annoyed by that, and I can kind of understand that. But it's all that they give us, and I've always drawn out detailed plans of how my drag and drop UI would have the classes at the top, and you would pull them down into windows, and I've got the whole thing worked out in my head, how you could switch between different options of showing the levels you're looking for, or the quest that you're looking for. When I heard about that from The Instance, I was very excited about it, so you should go. I don't want to hog news and act like I'm coming up with this stuff myself, so you should go check out that other podcast. This podcast isn't about news, necessarily. I'm not going to try to come up with the breaking latest and greatest. This is about guides. But some of the other podcasts out there handle that really well, and I want to let y'all know that I'm excited about this UIs to grouping, and because that's what these guides are about, is grouping, and anything that can make grouping better is what I'm all about. So without further ado, I will, as I say, go on to the healer's guide, and I hope you enjoy that, and stay tuned for damage dealing next week.
Sometime we get weary and find ourselves alone in a world full of darkness for those who have no home. This time now love's taking its toll, so far I'm living off a hard soul.
The healer is oftentimes the most important role in a group. The healer is the lifeline. As long as the healer's okay, everything else is going to be okay. As long as the healer's alive, then everybody else is going to be alive. They're going to make it. Everything's going to turn out all right. For this guide, as in all my guides, I'm going to be looking at the prime class for the role. And the prime class for healer is priest. I'm going to be using priest and healer synonymously because I can't stop myself. Because when I think of healer, I think of priest. When I think of priest, I think of healer. Why does a group need a priest, besides the fact that the priest can keep them alive? The priest is a huge force multiplier. If you will, imagine a warrior out on a battlefield with a huge monster facing him. And the warrior can take this monster out. He can win in a one-on-one fight with this monster. 1v1 with this monster of huge, awesome badness. The warrior would win. He'd take him down, but he'd only have a sliver of health left. A priest and a warrior together, which is the smallest and greatest group ever known to World of Warcraft, is going to be a force multiplier. Now this warrior, instead of just barely taking on this one mob, he's going to be able to take on three or four of those mobs with just the help of a priest, because a priest is going to make him four or five times more useful and more viable as a character, as a role. He's going to be able to do a lot more damage because he's going to have tons more health and other abilities. So if you add a priest to a group, that group's going to be 4 or 5 times stronger and more useful than it was before. They're going to be able to take on bigger and better enemies and more threatening situations and challenging obstacles. And that's why priests are, that's why instances all have elites in them, is because if you throw a priest in with a group of other characters and you put them in a place with normal mobs, then it's going to be too easy. Piece of cake. Nobody wants to eat cake when they're playing World of Warcraft. They want to play World of Warcraft. So they are elite because with a priest, your group becomes elite. You should just put little, you know, little dragon-style, you know, circles around all of your portraits, because if you add that healer in, then your group is going to be elite group if you can have a priest that works well with your tank. Because together, the tank and the healer can create the ability to hold mobs for long periods of time while the rest of the group takes them out. So what is a healer not? What is a priest not when he joins the group? Well, first of all, when you invite a healer into your group, you're looking for a healer. You're not looking for a damage dealer, though a lot of priests want to be mages. They think they want to be mages with healing capabilities. And while Shadow Word Pain is okay to use, the rest of your shadow damage, which is mainly priests, you'll see a lot of priests that go Shadow Specked all the way to the end of Bejesus, then you don't necessarily want them doing... That's fine, they can be Shadow Specked, they don't need to be fully unholy specked, but they need to be able to do heals and not think that they're there just to do damage. And I was in a lobby group with a priest that wanted to be a scout, and he wanted to be a puller, and he wanted to do everything. This little guy would not get behind the group. He would run around in front of everybody, and he always wanted to check and see what was around every corner, and then he would, of course, go around the corner and draw huge groups of mobs, and they would try to kill him quickly, because he wanted to do other things that a priest shouldn't do. A priest, a good priest, should be felt and not seen most of the time. You don't want to see the priest. He needs to be way behind the party at a range where he could cast his healing spells but not be drawing any aggro or threat or to himself from the party. So what are the mechanics of being a priest? Well, let me tell you. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to put out your power word Fortitude. This is the priest ability that gives more stamina, aka more hit points. So you're going to want to give power word for, or cast power word Fortitude on everybody in your group pretty much at the same time, because that way it's easier to figure out when it's going to expire. You can just watch your own power word Fortitude and you'll see everybody's. But it's always a good idea to keep tool tipping over all the portraits on the side of your screen to keep track of if it's on them or if it's not. And of course, if someone dies and is, then you must recast and reapply your power word Fortitude. Here's a little special sidey note, is you're going to want to tell your group about Fade if they are not familiar. If you're not working with a standard group or a group of players you play with a lot, you're going to need to tell them about Fade, how you use it properly. Because a lot of tanks don't know how it works, and I'm not going to tell you how it works now. I will tell you in a few seconds, so be ready for that. Go ahead and anticipate the greatness that is Fade. So you've set up your strategy talk, which is of course good for the whole group, and you have cast your powered Fortitude. You're in the dungeon. The tank is facing down a mob across the hallway, and he's ready to pull. What do you do? The first thing you do is you cast Inner Fire on yourself. Now this gives you more armor, and hopefully you won't need it, but you never know when a mob's going to get away from the rest of the group and they're going to come at you. And you, just in case, you need to have your Inner Fire up. After Inner Fire, before the shield before the tank pulls, you're going to cast Power Word Shield on the tank. A lot of tanks don't want Power Word Shield for one of two reasons. Either one, they believe that it reduces their ability to create rage, which so far has tested to be false. So far, it hasn't been proven that it has any effect on rage generation at all. But the tank might say, I don't want Power Word Shield because I can't generate as much rage. And if you can't convince them otherwise, then, you know, go with whatever they say, because, you know, they're the tank after all. The other reason that they might not want Power Word Shield is one of the things that I used to think was if the mob realized that they weren't hitting me, they may go to someone else in the party and I would lose my threat. And I don't think that's true either, but I used to think it. Either one of those things are both false, and as far as I know, and it is perfectly okay for you to cast Power Word Shield on the tank. And you're going to want to do that before he pulls, because you will not draw any threat or any aggro at that point. If you do it after he pulls, then that mob is already going to be thinking about you a little bit, thinking, who was it that put the power shield on this guy? So do it before he pulls. And then after he pulls, of course, the fun begins, and you're going to have to be... Your job isn't... I don't think the job of a priest is hard, necessarily, as long as you can pay close attention to about 50 different things. It's very easy, very simple. As long as you can watch about 40 different lines and the 40 different mobs that are around you, and the group, and your environment, and everything that's happening around you, you should have no problem at all. That's all I'm saying. It's easy. If you're going to complain about having too much to do, then you shouldn't be a priest. Or a warrior, for that matter. Everything's got their own complications, so don't let anybody tell you anything is easy. Because doing something right is always complicated. But you're going to have to worry about everybody. The first thing you're going to have to worry about, though, is simple. You're going to have to focus on that tank. You've put the shield on. He draws the mob, and you're ready, and you're watching. The portrait's on the left side of your screen, and you're watching your screen to see where everybody in your party is, because you have to keep line of sight and you have to keep the mobs in view to make sure you're not going to pull any of them. You have to watch behind you because you're going to be the person furthest back in case any pats are coming, patrols, or other mobs or, you know, WoW's messing with you and they're respawning things behind you for no apparent reason. It happens. It happens. Oh, yeah. So you've got your tank in your view, though, in your sights, because you've just put your shield on them. Now, I think it's fine, personally, though I've said before that priests aren't there to do damage. I think Shadow Word Pain is fine. So to get the Shadow Word Pain, I'm going to need to tell you about the Assist Key. If you're not familiar with the Assist Key, which a lot of people aren't, learn it right here. The default for Assist Key is F. You press your F key, and it will go to whatever your target is targeting. So if you've got your tank in your sights, and you hit the F key, it will go to whatever mob he pulled. And so he's already got a little threat on that thing, so it's not going to get away from him too fast. You can hit your dot, your Shadow Word Pain, and dot that mob. Now, since this is a damage over time, it doesn't draw too much threat, and it doesn't take too much mana, so your party should be fine with you dotting in that situation. After that, you hit the F key again, and you come right back to your tank, who is getting busy with that mob in all the friendly ways that he should be. At that point, you need to make an evaluation on exactly what's going on with your party. Are people being attacked on the sides? Look up at the portraits and see, are they going down? And again, as a priest, you should know that you should do most of your healing not by clicking on the people in your view screen, but by clicking on the portraits. Click the middle of the screen to where you don't have anybody selected, then click on the heal that you want to use, and then click on the portrait on the left side of your screen or wherever it might be, and heal that way. Most of the time is the best way to go. But so take a look over there at the portraits and see who is getting attacked. Hopefully it's just your tank, and that'd be the best situation, what you're really looking for. But if other people are getting attacked, then you might want to shield them to try to get the mobs to go back to the tank, and maybe cast a Renew. Renew is your best heals to start out with because it doesn't take much mana, but it does as much, should be doing about as much healing as a flash heal. Although it takes time, it can make up for whatever damage the classes are taking. So you're checking out your tank specifically, though. While you're keeping around the rest of the party, you're looking at your tank, and you're seeing what kind of damage he's taking. Now, if by the time you get to your tank, his shield is already gone, and he's halfway down in health, that means he is taking damage quickly, and he is in some serious trouble. If you don't, you may not have enough time to cast a heal or a greater heal, if you have it. You may not have time to do that, because that's a 3-second cast, a 4-second cast, and if he's taking damage this quickly, then he might be dead by the time that heal goes off. So you want to start with a flash heal to get him some time so that you can give him another heal, a bigger heal. You want to go up the ladder. You start with Renew. In the case that he hasn't taken any damage and his shield is still up, then you might want to wait a second until the shield goes down and then cast Renew. So you have your list, your ladder of steps you go up. First thing you do is cast your flash heal because you can get that off. I believe it's, I don't have all the stats in front of me right now. I believe it's 1.5 seconds. And you can get that off. And then if your tank is still losing lots of health, that'll give you enough time to cast your greater heal or your big heal. And of course, you're still watching the rest of your party, making sure that they're not taking damage. Your goal as a healer is to not keep everybody at 100% health. Your goal as the healer is to keep everyone alive. Everyone needs to be alive. If at the end of the fight, you have 4 people that are alive and 1 person dead, then you've failed. Everybody needs to be alive, even if they have, you know, just a sliver of health left. That's the goal, because XP, they can only get it if they're still alive. And if you are at a boss and one guy dies and the rest of the 4 are alive, and that player that died just lost lots of XP that he could have gotten if he was alive when that boss died. So your goal is to keep everyone alive, but not necessarily at full health. And one of your strategies you have to learn as a priest, and I'm going to give you some tips here in a second, but one of the things you have to learn is to not overheal. If someone just has barely any health missing and you're using greater heals, then you're wasting, you know, tons of mana and getting nothing for it. The rate of damage they're taking will tell you a lot about what heal you should use. For instance, if your tank is, you're down to your last mob, you've fought 8 or 9 mobs, and you're down to your last mob, and the tank has, less than half health left, or maybe he's down to a quarter of health, but you haven't healed him yet, and he's, you know, done all this because he's barely taken any damage, and you know you really don't need to worry about healing him, because even though he's low, he's not taking that much damage, and he's going to be fine. Whereas, if a mob runs at your mage, and he hits him one time, and it still looks like, okay, this guy has lots of health, but the thing is, he's taken at a fast rate of damage, so he's going to be dead pretty quickly. So you can't just look at the green and see how much health they have. You've got to think about how quickly are they taking the damage. And you have to measure that into how long do my healing spells take and how much do they heal for. So you've got these things that are, there's no real way to get on it, but my rule of thumb is you want to try to keep everybody in your party at about 80%. If you see someone's taking damage quickly, then you shield them and you heal them for whatever you feel necessarily. And again, I really wish, I'm trying to think of ways that I can help you. I really wish there was a way to say that in this situation, you always use heal number one, and in this other situation, you always use heal number two. But there really is no way to do that, except for maybe on the renew slash power word shield combo and on the prayer of healing, because the renew shield combo can be used anytime a mob goes for your cloth classes, because that'll give the tank time to pull it back off of the cloth or the squishy and give you time to do whatever you need to do as far as extra healing is concerned if it's necessary. The prayer of healing, you can have a good picture of what you need to do, because if it gets to a point where three of your party members or more need to be flash healed, then prayer of healing is the way to go. Anything two or less, then really you're going to be losing your mana efficiency if you try to use prayer of healing in that situation. So I know I said earlier that I was going to go over the other classes that could be good for healing if you can't find a priest. And on the either side, Horde or Alliance, the best class, if you can't find a priest for overall healing, is going to be a druid. Druids have great heals. They've got great healing abilities, party heals. They've got it all. They can do it all pretty much, except for they cannot do solid resurrecting. They can do resurrections if they have the regents or reagents that they need, but they can only do it once. I think it's every half hour or something near there. So if a party wipes, then it's not going to do them any good, because they can only, you know, resurrect one person. If you have a druid and secondary as a main healer, and secondary to them you have on the Alliance side a paladin, well, that'll be fine, because your paladin can not only help them heal in certain cases if that's what you need, but they can also resurrect. If you have a shaman on the other side, same thing for the Horde. Also, an interesting thing to note is that if you have a warlock in the group and a shaman or a paladin, then the warlock should always give a soul stone, which is a resurrection stone, to either one of those two classes, instead of a priest, and definitely instead of a druid. Because the paladin's going to have more staying power, the shaman's going to have more staying power, and they won't need to rely on it as much, so they'll have a better chance of staying alive and more gumption, and then they won't need it as often. Whereas if you gave it to a priest, he'd probably use it up in the first 10 minutes, and then you'd have 20 minutes to where you wouldn't be able to use it again. Well, you hope that's not the case, but it could happen. Lastly, but not leastly, is the fade and the what you should do in general if, while you're doing all this healing, you draw a mob. If a mob leaves the tank and leaves the main little melee zone that you've got up in front of you and runs back the 15 to 30 yards or meters that it is that you're behind them. You set up in advance when you tell your group about fade is say, guys, don't help me unless I ask for it. I know I'm the priest, I know I'm a cloth wearer, but I'm going to set up a command, and if you hear me ask for help, then you come help me. And that command for you would be slash help me. If you type in slash help me, it's a voice emote, and your character will say something along the lines of I need aid, or help me, or I need assistance. And the party will hear that, or they'll see it at least. And so you tell them you don't need help unless you ask for it. Now what you do is this is a kind of a two-man kiting method. Is the tank and the melee area is a long ways in front of you, like I said, 15 to 30 meters or whatever it is you need for your healing spells. And you wait, and eventually, just to your healing, you're going to draw some mobs to you. The tank's going to lose a few that he's not working on, and they're going to come to you. They have to run. The couple of seconds that they run from the tank over to you, they're out of the fight. And then as soon as they get to you, you hit your fade. And at that point, you lose a portion of your threat, almost always going to be enough to send them back to the main group. I have never seen it happen where it's not. So those mobs that ran all the way out to you, now they're going to be confused, and they're going to, you know, lose you, and they're going to have to run all the way back. So for effectively, for those few seconds, those are out of the fight. It's almost as if they were sapped or stunned, or they're out of the fight. So it's not only is it a good way to keep yourself safe and to save your tank time, because if your tank doesn't know about this or he doesn't think about it, then the tank half the time is going to be running away from the group and chasing down the mobs every time he sees them run and trying to taunt them off of you and wasting his rage and wasting his time and losing the rage and the taunts that he could be spending on other mobs that needed it. And he's not going to be helping you, and he's only going to be hurting the party. So you need to let him know to do that. Make sure that he knows that you know about it, because I've been a part of groups where I thought the priest knew about it and they didn't. And I would let the mobs run to the priest and they would freak out and start running around in circles and wondering why I wasn't getting the mobs off of the priest. And that's the other thing. You know, if you draw a mob, then not only do you need to fade, but don't freak out. Don't run. You know, do help me. Stop doing damage. I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but I'm going to do it now. Is that one thing you don't want to do, especially if you have a secondary healer, is you don't want to heal yourself. Let a secondary healer heal you, or maybe shield yourself and just spam the help me or ask for help. Because if you heal yourself while a mob is there, then you're going to create an aggro loop, because they're mad at you because you're healing their target, and then when you become their target and you heal yourself, you're just continuing to heal their target. So they're getting more and more mad at you, and it's going to be harder and harder for a tank or someone else to draw that mob off of you. And that's in the case that your fade has been spent and you're in the window where you don't have it up. I believe it's the 30 seconds cooldown on that bad boy. So make sure that you don't freak out, don't run, try not to heal yourself. I also don't think I went clearly over what I meant by ladder of heals. You start with renew, then you have your lesser heals if you use lesser heals, then you have your flash heals, then you have all of your normal heals, but by that I mean the standard heal and whatever else you may have, and then the group heals. And you start at the lowest one and you go all the way up, and it is okay for them to get down to low health before you heal them. The bigger a heal you can use, it seems like the better mana efficiency you get, so you don't want to heal them just every time their health drops to 80%. You don't want to heal them. You want to wait till it gets down low to where that next heal that you use is going to bring them back up to 80%, and then keep them right about there. So they're not ever going to be at full health. They may be around half health while you're casting, maybe a little below half health when the healing spell hits, and then right about 80% right afterwards. And you need to keep moving on. Hopefully you only have to work on your tank, but you got to watch the rest of the party. The spell magic can get rid of, you have to experiment a little bit, but it can get rid of things like dots most of the time, fears, polymorphs, stuns. It can take some of the bad stuff off of your party, some of the bad mojo that the mobs are going to put on your guys. And while it's a good thing to practice it in the early instances at the lower levels, it becomes totally imperative later on. And if you can get the fantastic mastery of when to use it at the low levels, you're going to be better off. Keep it out and in a place where you can easily access it. And try to use it whenever you can, mess around with when it hits and when it doesn't hit, because when you get into the later instances and the in-game raids and runs, I hear tell that it is imperative that you know when you can use it. So I think that about wraps everything up on the healer. Next week I'm going to be going over damage dealers, and I'm pretty excited about it. I've been thinking about it a lot this week as I've been going through running my instances, how the damage dealers that are working with me, how they're doing, how they're not doing, how I would do it different with my rogue. So I'm going to get into that next week, and look forward to it. Thanks for stopping in again, and if you did not hear last week's the conversation on the tanks, then you need to listen to that too, because tanks and healers go together like peanut butter and jelly. And then, of course, if you're special, then you know the damage dealers are the tasty bananas that go inside of the peanut butter jelly banana sandwich. So if you're a healer, then look over this stuff, figure out what you agree with, what you don't agree with, what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And let me know. If you're not a healer, then as always, think about rolling a healer. Think about trying your own healer class, coming in as a priest, or maybe as a druid. And see how you feel you're doing, see how you think the healers you're working with are doing.
I'm just a curbside prophet with my hand in my pocket, and I'm waiting for my rocket to come. I'm just a curbside prophet with my hand in my pocket, and I'm waiting for my rocket, y'all.
And now it's time for the RL Thought of the Cast. And my real life thought of this week was God. I was thinking about God in real life, and I don't want to be too religious on the show or anything, and that's not what I'm about here. But I've been hearing a lot about the pallies complaining on the boards to the, you know, the GMs or whoever it may be, the powers that preside, and I've been thinking about how the game, actually what started was I was listening to another podcast, we were talking about there's no strong, tried and true deities in World of Warcraft, that it was a weak area. But I was thinking the real deities in World of Warcraft are the creators. You're in a fantasy world, an alternate reality, and this world has creators, and people ask these creators for things, and sometimes they receive them and sometimes they don't. The creators have ultimate responsibility over the world and the things that are in it. They have their will be done. If they want something done, it's going to happen. But at the same time, the people that are in the world have their own free will, and they can do their own thing to an extent, as long as they don't go too far out of the boundaries. I thought it was an interesting correlation to, depending on what your belief system is, how the World of Warcraft and their god is analogous to the real world and our god. If you're into that whole kind of thing, it kind of makes you philosophies of how active is God in the world? Is he as active as the gods of Warcraft are in their world, the real gods? And so I was just something I was thinking about this week, and there's tons of analogies I'm not going to take the time to draw because I don't know how many of you are interested in that kind of thing. But as I thought about it myself, I used to be a theology major, and I thought about there's lots of correlations to how the gods of World of Warcraft correspond to the gods of the real world. And I just wanted to throw that out there, my real life thought of the week, what I was thinking about. last week I left this out, but I meant to do it, and I'm going to continue to do it. It's going to be a tip of the week, and that's going to be a part where I just give you some little tip. A lot of you will know what these things are already, but there are some things that I see that people don't know about the game. On this podcast, I'm going to bring it to you loud and clear, the shift click on a name in chat. I get this a lot when I'm in cities. I'll see people looking for groups or whatever, and they'll say, you know, looking for group Gnomer, and people will come on there and ask, what level are you, or you, you know, what's your class, and the whole thing is like magic. If you anytime in chat, and I do this repeatedly, every at least three or four seconds, if I'm watching the chat, I'm hitting shift and clicking on people's names, just because I'm curious as to see who they are, where they are, what level they are. And if you look at your chat where somebody's talking, all you have to do is hold down the shift key and go to their name, and then hit and click on their name. And then when you do that, at the bottom of the chat screen, it's going to bring up a level. It's going to have their name, and then their level, their race, and then their class. And then if they're in a guild, it's going to tell you their guild. After that, it's going to tell you their area, wherever they're at. And you can get all that information just by holding shift and clicking on their names in the chat window. And then you'll get the little yellow information, whatchamacallit. And that's just a good, quick way to get information on anybody. And I'm steady doing that when I'm trying to figure out how to form these groups that I form, how to go on raids, who to talk to, who to ask for help, who to respond to. And sometimes if they don't give you enough information and questions they have, if I want to help somebody out, I can get a little more information on how I can help them by checking out their level and their location and telling them, you know, they're not a high enough level, or they're too high, or they're in the wrong place. And everything's like that. So that's my tip for the week. Everybody try it out. If you already knew about it, then keep listening. I'm going to give another tip next week. And thanks a lot. All right, everyone. That's the end of Epic Guides Podcast numero due. Thanks for stopping in. I hope you had as much fun as I did. I hope that I infotained you. I hope you had some infotainment from my show. And I hope that you know a little bit more about healers. And I hope you had some fun. I know that I did for show. I'd like to make a final request to visit my website at epicguides.net. Get on the forums. I know it's a little scary to be the one of the first ones on. I know it's a barren wasteland of desolate space at this point. But I'd really like you guys to get on there and let me know what you think. If you're on iTunes, then I would love it if anyone could take the time to go on iTunes and write me a favorable review. That would be the greatness. And come back next week, download the show again, tell your friends about it, and have a good one. Bye. Ba-ba. Ba-ba-ba. Ba-ba-ba-ba.